IAFWeb, the Internet's general aviation news service and magazine, presents our daily coverage from on location in Lakeland, Florida for Sun and Fun 2008. Brought to you by XMWX Weather and the Bose Aviation Headset Tip. Cessna's VP of Sales and Marketing, Roger White, told AFWeb this week that even though it's focusing much of its attention on the recently acquired Columbia composite line, Cessna is still on track to build the so-called next-generation single. It will occupy a narrow niche between the 182-206 and the 350 and 400 from the Columbia airplanes. White also updated us on the Skycatcher project, which is soon to begin production in China.
Welcome to the second day of coverage from Sun and Fun 2008. We're speaking today with Roger White, who's a Vice President of Sales and Marketing for Cessna, worldwide, I should say. Roger, we'd like to talk about three things, the Skycatcher, the Columbia project, and if we could start with the NGP, where is that project right now as far as its development, and have you rethought at all its market position with the acquisition of Columbia?
We're continuing to work on NGP, and we have been doing since we really flew the proof of concept airplane, and we've learned a lot about it. We have made many changes. We found a lot of areas, and that's why we built the proof of concept in the first place, to find out what we didn't know, and we found out a lot through that. So we've been recontouring the airplane, changing some of the aerodynamic configuration, and that work goes on. And we are now looking at what we are going to define as a final configuration and which engines we're going to put in. And of course, we're trying to look at where we want to position the airplane in the market so that it fits logically into our product line below the Columbia 350 and 400.
Below the Columbias. Would it likely be a six-place airplane?
No, it will be a four-place airplane. We showed a four-place airplane. It was always designed as a four-place airplane, so it will remain a four-place airplane.
And how will it fit, say, between the 182, the 206, and the Columbias? You see a market niche in there, and what's the nature of that market?
Well, that's what we're looking at the moment. The NGP was always designed to be a platform with several derivatives, and the derivatives really would be different power plants. So that's what we're really looking at the moment. How do we power the airplane to position it in the market where we think it will fit best?
And conceivably, would a customer order this with a specific power plant? In other words, would he have a choice of power plants, which in the other airplanes you really don't, with the exception of the Skyhawk and the diesel, but that's its own individual model.
Initially, I think we will bring it out with one power plant, and then we will iterate from there when we once we've got some experience and we see what the market reaction is.
Will there be a diesel in its future, do you think?
That has not been decided at this point.
And how about Lycoming or Continental?
That also has not been decided at this point.
What kind of a time frame are we looking at for the NGP?
We're still probably looking at entry into service something like 2011, although that still has to be defined. That's what I would call a best guess at the moment.
Is there less urgency now that you've acquired Columbia and have filled that market niche?
No, we've continued. We haven't stopped development of NGP. We continued on with our program. We want to get the airplane to market, but we want to make sure we're going to get the right airplane to market when we do it.
Do you see that for the NGP as being a domestic U.S. market or a world market or a combination?
It's a worldwide market.
So it won't be necessarily aimed at U.S.?
No. We're trying to design it so it will have appeal in the United States, but also everywhere else in the world.
What kind of performance does this airplane have?
That's what we're in the process of defining at the moment.
Would it be safe to say it's 200 knots plus?
I can't tell you at the moment. We just don't have final numbers, and anything I would tell you on performance would be pure speculation.
All right. We do know that the Columbias, or the 350 and 400, are near 200 knot airplanes, at least the 400 is. Where does that project stand as far as the integration of the Columbia factory into the Cessna network?
Well, we've done an awful lot of work integrating Bend into our system. We've been doing a lot of work in reorganizing some of the production that works very well, but we saw some improvements which we could make to make it more efficient. We have a lot of integration with our processes already. We've integrated the sales and the marketing. We've brought the 350 and 400 into our normal distribution channels for single engine. There's a great deal of work being done and is ongoing, and it is going very well. And
we're very pleased. What sort of changes in the airplane?
Changes in the airplane. We haven't made changes in the airplane apart from changing the name, but it's in the production process where we have made changing. We have a lot of Six Sigma methodology which we use. We use lean techniques, and we are continuously introducing those into the production flow to make it more efficient in Bend.
Speaking of names, are those airplanes going to get a name other than the number?
We haven't really decided on that at the moment. We continue to look at how we want to brand the airplane for the long term, but at the moment we're going to stay with the 350 and 400.
How does the aftermarket sales work? Does all of that center out of Cessna headquarters in Wichita, or does Columbia or whatever that division is called now have its own support network based in Bend?
Well, we call it Bend, and we still have a hybrid there. It is gradually being integrated into the Cessna support network. We have done a lot of things with parts catalogs, for instance. We are, of course, in a training mode with our distribution organization and our service network for single engine, but we are integrating the two. There will still, of course, be some support out in Bend. Some support, like the spares support, will be driven out of Bend because that's where they make most of the parts. But the coordination will be done through our Wichita-based single engine service organization.
And is that completely integrated, or in the process of?
It's in the process. We haven't got it all done yet, but it's well on its way, and it'll take a time because we have a lot of propeller service stations, and until we get everybody up to speed on the airplane and trained, it's going to take a while. But it's going pretty well.
What do you see in broad terms, without giving away anything proprietary, the evolution of that product? In other words, is there room in the market to grow its capabilities and grow its features?
We believe that there is room to bring out derivatives of the 350 and 400. I can't give you any timing on that at the moment. We think we've got an extremely good product. It's a very, very sound design. We're just more and more impressed with what we've seen as we get to know the product better. And we think that there's some development potential there. That's about all I can tell you at this point.
More of our conversation with Cessna's Roger White in just a moment. Today's Sun and Fun coverage is presented by Bose Aviation Headset 10, voted number one for the 7th consecutive year in Professional Pilots 2007 Headset Preference Survey. Enjoy full spectrum noise reduction, clearer audio, and comfortable around-the-ear fit. Learn more at Bose.com/headset. Also brought to you by XMWX.
XMWX satellite weather has quickly become the leading way to fly for pilots across the country. With flexible display solutions from aviation's biggest names, Datalink Weather from XMWX has been embraced by pilots and the industry alike. It's simply the best way to soar with confidence, in flight and every flight.
Now back to Paul Bertarelli from On Location at Sun and Fun 2008.
How are sales going with that product line?
The sales on the 350 and 400 are going very, very well. We have sold out the production for 2008. We haven't really opened the order book for 2009. I would say that the rate that the sales came in after we announced that we'd bought the assets of the company exceeded our expectations.
And roughly what will that number be for 2008?
2008, we are projecting 150 deliveries.
Of both?
Yes, it'll be a total between the 350 and 400.
I see. Thank you. Moving on to the Skycatcher project, can you give us an update on where that is?
Skycatcher is proceeding very well. We flew the prototype airplane earlier in the month. There's quite a lot of information out there. It's fully meeting expectations. We're working on the first production airplanes, which are being built, and the test articles, which are being built in Wichita. The factory in Shenyang is gearing up. They have some of the tooling, quite a lot of the tooling already built, and we're very well on schedule to start delivering airplanes in 2009.
You've probably been asked this before, but I don't think by us. The airplane is heavier than some of the LSA's empty weight. Have you been able to address that to improve the payload?
Well, we will be able to deliver the airplane with the payload which we guaranteed. And we know that the airplane is a little heavier than some of the other airplanes. Part of that is because we decided to go with the AO200 Continental engine. And we did extensive surveys before we took that decision. And found that the customer base that we were talking to were prepared to accept the heavier weight of the to be able to get the old 200 engine rather than any other kind of engine. They were prepared to take that trade-off. They thought that the O200 was the best choice for that kind of
engine. What does that say about the customer base as far as their tastes? Who are these people who are buying this? They sound like they may be different buyers than someone who might be interested in, say, a Rotax-powered airplane.
Well, we are looking primarily at trainer markets. We're looking at owner flowns, and when we looked at all the data, the overwhelming preference was for the Continental O200. They just felt that the maintenance was going to be lower on that. Certainly, it's nice to have the option to be able to fly with MoGas, but MoGas is not available at many airports. So unless you bring it in yourself in canisters, you can't get it in a lot of places. And we saw that the customers, we did a lot of voice of the customer research, and the overwhelming majority said, no, if we have a choice, we would prefer to have the Continental engine rather than anything else.
And speaking of MoGas and AvGas, it's obviously not available in other parts of the world. If this airplane is going to sell elsewhere, China, Asia, or Europe, what kind of power plant will it have?
Well, certainly MoGas is available pretty much around the world, and this engine does have the capability to be run on that. We don't have any other plans for any other power plant at this stage of the game.
Is that just not economic for that market segment, or just no demand for it?
Well, it's a matter of what engine would you put in it. There is just not, to my knowledge, an engine which runs on Jet A, if that's what you're trying to get at. The engine is just not out there to our knowledge at the moment.
I guess what I'm thinking is there may be a developmental engine out there, a small diesel, four-cylinder diesel or two-cycle diesel perhaps, that would suit that airplane, but you're not looking at that.
Certainly nothing that we're aware of which is anywhere close in to be productionized and have all the testing done, the certification done. That's not to our knowledge.
You've taken a little bit of heat for the China decision. How do you respond to that when you're asked about moving the project to China?
Well, we looked at that long and hard before we took a decision, and we looked at many alternatives around the world, places to source the airplane around the world. To get the price point, we just could not build it here in the United States. It had to go outside. And when we looked at it, China was very compelling from a number of reasons. They were prepared to invest in the production of the airplane. The company we chose, Shenyang, has terrific background in producing airplanes, all the way up to very complex jet fighters. They have the technology. They produce parts for Boeing, for Spirit, for Airbus, for Bombardier, all the turboprop fuselages for the Bombardier regional airliners are produced in Shenyang. And having looked at all that and looked at the costs, also looking at developing the Chinese market, China is buying a lot of airplanes from us. We now have something like 150 172s, which are training airplanes. We have jet airplanes in China. We felt it was the best choice. And yes, there was a lot of dialogue about it recently. But when we looked at the order book, we took hardly any cancellations. Our order book stands at close to 1,000 now. the number of cancellations we took, you can count on the fingers of one hand.
You mentioned the 172. Do you think that would ever be built in China?
There are certainly no plans to do that at the moment. We expect the 172 to remain in production for a very long time. We're getting extremely good reaction to the introduction of the 172 TD. Expect great things from that, and we intend to continue to produce that in Independence, Kansas for as long as we can see in the future.
You mentioned about 150 172s in China. I assume those are Lycoming powered?
Those, the 172s in China today are all Lycoming powered.
And
yes.
Fueled, they have enough avgas, or are they using mogas for those?
They use avgas for those, but avgas is not available everywhere in China, but the schools which use them have the availability of the avgas to be able to operate them, yes.
As far as the Shenyang factory and the tooling, does the tooling, is that built here or are they doing that there?
Some of it is built by us and some of it's built by them. So it's a mixture. It's not, they've built some of the tooling. They've also built tooling for us in the past. We have contracted them. Our earlier ventures with Shenyang were building tooling for us. So it's nothing new to them to do tooling. And we were very, very pleased with the results of the tooling. They built tooling for our jet airplanes, and we've been very pleased with the quality which we received.
And I assume that you install in China your own quality control people?
Yes, we have our own project managers over there, our own quality control managers there who are on site in Shenyang. So they will be watching as the production goes together, and they will be controlling the airplanes as they come off of the line before they're shipped back.
And is that fully staffed up or in the process of being staffed?
We have some staff there. We will be adding some more staff as time goes on.
Well, thank you very much, Roger.
All right, it's my pleasure.
Cessna's Roger White speaking to AvWeb from on location at Sun & Fun 2008 in Lakeland, Florida. Our daily audio coverage from Sun & Fun 2008 is brought to you by the Bose Aviation Headset 10 and by XMWX Weather. For more in-depth coverage of Sun & Fun and breaking general aviation news, log on to www.avweb.com. For AvWeb Audio, Mike Blakeney reporting. Thanks for listening.